Hello and welcome to the Spiritual School Bus. I'm Mandy Hecht. I'm an ordained minister with the Canadian Baptist of Western Canada, and I drive a school bus. In Baptist churches and on the bus, it seems like everyone wants to sit in the back. You, however, are invited to take a front row seat on the Spiritual School Bus. Today's reading is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 19 through 34. Now this was John's testimony when the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, "I am not the Messiah." They asked him, "Then who are you? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Finally they said, "Who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, "I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness, make straight the way for the Lord." Now the Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" "I baptize with water," John replied, "but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." All this happened at Bethany on the other side of the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony, "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man whom you see, the Spirit come down and remain, is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one." May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
Well, one last time I can say Merry Christmas. You'll see all our beautiful lights are up and our tree is up. And as we spoke to the children about, this is the first Sunday of Christmas because the church recognizes you can't get all the celebration out in one day. But all of us know the reality that this evening, even this afternoon perhaps, the celebration of the new year will take hold and we'll rush headlong into 2018 and all that waits for us there. And for those of us who are sitting there, probably that holds different emotions. Maybe it feels exciting and alive with possibility for you. Maybe it feels a little bit more mundane, like more of the same is just waiting for you next year as this one. And maybe some of us even find it a little bit scary or difficult, like you don't know how much more of this you can take. But before 2017 slides into 2018 and we move into our New Year's celebrations, I invite us to linger here for one more moment for what has come before us, what we experienced just a week ago with Christmas. That's why we've left our decorations up. I invite us to spend at least one more hour with the people gathered around here in this familiar scene, complete with the manger and Mary and Joseph, the shepherds who hear the news from angels, and even magi from the east, a star hanging over the entire scene. And this scene, if you have one at home, you often even see animals like donkeys, a cow, a few sheep or a camel maybe. The familiar scene, with this familiar cast of characters all gathered around a sleeping baby. We stay here because everyone wants to see the baby, to hold the baby, so we can gather around and come close. But even as we sit with this familiar scene, I want us to notice something else too. There is someone important who is not represented here, which is kind of a shame because he's very important to the story that we tell at Christmas time, about how God so loved the world that he sent his one and only son, about how the word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood, about how God came to live among us. Our Christmas scenes that we have assembled in our minds have been culled from two of our gospels, from Matthew and Luke, and of course from traditions that have taken hold in the intervening two millennia or so since that event. But there is someone who perhaps should be honored in some way, although we probably can't place him right at the manger, which is probably why he gets left out, because this person doesn't appear just in one or two or even three of our gospels. This character appears before Jesus in all four of them. And in all four Gospels, he has a job. The job is to come before Jesus. In other places, he's described as wearing clothing made of camel hair. He has a diet of locusts and the wild honey. He's Jesus' cousin, born to Elizabeth. And you all have a name in your head now, right? Who is this guy? John the Baptist. Very good. All four of our Gospels have John the Baptist coming before Jesus. He comes first, though, for a very important reason, not to take credit, not to get the glory for himself, but he is to point the way to Jesus. He holds the light out so that we might see Jesus, as you might hold a lantern out and you can see things around you. In the fourth gospel, which is how I will refer to John's gospel this morning to distinguish it from John the Baptist, it's just easier. There are two lines that describe the Christmas story. He came into the world he created, but the world did not recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. So the Christmas story in John's gospel, or the fourth gospel, is very sparse. But even here, John the Baptist shows up. We read verse 6 in John 1. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that all through him might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. And then a few verses later, which are part of our reading this morning, or no, actually it's not, still. A few verses later, it says, this is the one I spoke about when I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. So although John is absent from our manger scenes, he's deeply connected and intertwined with the coming of Jesus into the world as Jesus makes his dwelling among us. John the Baptist came into the world to hold the light, so that we could see Jesus. And I want to just spend some time with that idea this morning. Now, the following is an Advent reading, but I think it speaks beautifully to where we are at this time of year and where we are in the fourth gospel. In this place where we're still lingering a little bit in Christmas, but also standing on the precipice of a new year, I want to think about John's role in the story of Jesus. And here's the reading. It matters that we hold the light for one another. It matters that we bear witness to the light that holds us all, that we testify to this light that shines its infinite love and mercy on us across oceans, across borders, across time. One writer says this, and she's speaking of her own experience here. She says, I love how John describes it in his gospel, writing of John the Baptist. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. And she says, looking back over the past 4 years since I lost my husband, I've been thinking of all those who have borne the light for me. And I can tell you it is no small thing to bear witness to the light when everything seems dark. It's no small thing to bear the light for one another, to bear witness to the light when everything seems dark. As we shift from Christmas to the new year, many people at this time make resolutions. They find self-improvement projects, changes they can make. Maybe they're big and ambitious, or maybe they're just small and steady. People try to improve their life for the upcoming year. But I'm going to suggest that in addition to whatever it is that you have decided you want to do this year, if anything at all, whether that's being a little bit more organized, trying to maintain a better diet or workout, focusing on your goals and dreams for this year, whatever your goals are, may I propose this, that you make it one of your goals for this coming year to hold the light, to bear witness to the light, both to one another and to the others in our lives, because that is no small thing. And our role model for this is John the Baptist. You see, John the Baptist was a leader in his own right. Our story in the fourth gospel starts with the movers and shakers in Jerusalem, the center of religious power, noticing that something is going on Bethany, on the other side of the Jordan, which is probably another way of saying Hicksville. And this thing that was going on involved John. John is baptizing people there. And Bethany on the other side of the Jordan is nowhere, really. Scholars today don't even know exactly where it was. It certainly wasn't Jerusalem with its bustling temple and the center of power where the important religious people resided. And yet something is going on that's drawing their attention. So something that John was doing is getting noticed. And the people in Jerusalem sent a delegation and hightailed it down to Hicksville, where John was dunking people in the river, to find out exactly what was going on. And so our reading today actually begins in the middle of an interrogation, when the priests and the scribes who've been sent by the Pharisees are trying to get an answer out of John. Why are you doing what you're doing? Just who do you think you are? In fact, that's precisely what they asked John twice, verse 21 and 22. They say, who are you? And then they name some great figures from the Old Testament. The Messiah, are you the Messiah? A royal figure from the line of David whom people were expecting? No. Not only no, John says emphatically no, I am not the Messiah. He repeats this for emphasis. Well, how about Elijah then, they ask? Elijah was a prophet who, according to the Old Testament, never died, but was taken up into heaven. And his coming was foretold in the last book of the Old Testament in Malachi. And to be honest, John looked an awful lot like John the Baptist looked an awful lot like Elijah with his clothing and his diet choices. But he says, no, I'm not him either. Well, how about the prophet, they say? Still no. One thing you can say about John the Baptist, he knows who he is not. He is not the most important one. He's making a lot of noise, yes, but all this is just a warm-up act. All this is just to ensure that everyone is gathered and ready for the real deal. For the one who is, of course, in our imaginations today, still a baby lying in the manger. See, just like the people gathered around your manger scenes, like Mary and Joseph, the shepherds, magi, angels, even animals crowded around the manger in our minds, John is doing the same thing they are doing. He's pointing not to himself, but to Jesus. John knows who he is not. He's not the important one. He's not the one whom all this fuss is about. He's not the one who's going to save the people. John knows that his job is different. And when all the people who are gathered here at the manger, who are making a fuss about the baby, scatter to go about their daily lives, it becomes John's job to start what they started when Jesus was born. And that's to point the way to Jesus. John's job is to hold the light, to bear witness to the light in the darkness of the world. There's a lovely poem written by Howard Thurman called The Work of Christmas, and it goes like this. When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are back home, when the shepherds are with their flock, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among people, to make music in the heart. So when the song of the angels is stilled and the star is gone and the kings are back home and the shepherds are shepherding again, that's when the work of Christmas, which is also John the Baptist's work, is just beginning. The work of Christmas is to hold the light so that the lost and the broken and the hungry and the prisoner can see that there is a light that shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it. To hold the light is to take the light and the good news of Jesus into the world, which is what John did. John was the one who held the light, but he was not the Messiah, and John knew this. But one writer says this, make no mistake, John is a leader. Why else would the religious authorities come out to question him? He's a leader, an influencer, and therefore a potential ally or threat. And so they come out to interrogate him, perhaps to challenge him, maybe to woo him, or maybe to discredit him. But none of that bothers him in the least, because he knows who he is. And he knows who he's not. He's not the light. He's the one pointing to the light, crying in the wilderness, serving first and foremost as a witness. John knows who he is, and that includes knowing who he's not. And this writer says, which is why I wish there were more leaders like him now, more folks who didn't imagine that everything revolved around them. John was clearly a leader because people couldn't seem to stay away from him. Something's going on in Bethany beyond the Jordan, and the authorities couldn't resist going out to see precisely what. And they thought John was probably going to be trouble, and all indications are that he was, including the fact that he suffered that terrible death at the hands of Herod the Tetrarch. But when the authorities, who seemed fed up with him constantly saying no to their questions, finally exasperated, they say, well, who then? We need an answer for those who sent us. Tell us something, anything about yourself. I'm the thunder in the desert, John says. Make straight the path for the Lord. I'm doing what the prophet Isaiah preached. Those who were sent to him were from the Pharisee party, and now they had a question of their own. If you're neither the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet, then why do you baptize? And John answered, I baptize using only water. A person you don't recognize has taken his stand in your midst. He comes after me, but he's not in second place to me. I'm not even worthy to hold his coat for him. The authorities thought that maybe John was going to be trouble because he seemed to have some sort of effect on the people. He was a leader, but of what? They weren't certain. And then John's response to them is quite the response, if you think about it. To these authorities who are worried about some sort of rebellion or movement coming out from the leadership of this strange man in the desert, he seems to answer, if you think I'm a threat to your presumption of power, think about this. There's someone among you that you don't know who is far greater than I. Or in other words, if you think that I'm going to be trouble, watch out. There's another one coming, and he's going to be a whole lot more difficult to handle than I am. See, John was clearly a leader, but he's a leader because he was actually a follower of Christ. He too was following people to Jesus' side. Now, of course, the child in the manger that we're adoring this morning is going to grow up to be much more of a handful than anyone could have anticipated, except maybe John the Baptist. And John's job is to sit there on the witness stand and endure the interrogation of the priests and the scribes from the Jerusalem establishment, and to let anyone and everyone know what his job was, which is to point the way to Jesus. His job is to carry the light, to bear witness to the light in the darkness. John was a leader because he was a follower, someone making his way toward Jesus, whom he knew was the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And that's how we can be like John. We don't have to eat wild honey or go out in the desert to do this. The moon has no light of its own, we know, but it only reflects the light of the sun. That's why we can see the moon, but we can see it when it's dark outside only. And so it is with John the Baptist. The fourth gospel is very clear that John himself was not the shining light. He was reflecting the light of Jesus so that the world in darkness would see him. His job was not to become famous for the sake of fame so that his own name would be well known. His job was to use any fame, any glory, any power, any influence, any platform that he had to point to Jesus. He was a leader who followed Jesus and led other people to Jesus as well. And I think that's about as good a description of being a Christian and a disciple of Jesus as I can think of. John was a leader because he was a follower of Jesus, and other people followed him right to Jesus. John knew who he was not, but he also knew who he was, the thunder in the wilderness, the one to point the way, the one who held the light. And we're not done with John in the fourth gospel. John is always, every time we see him, holding the light, pointing the way, bearing witness to the light of God that shines in the darkness. We see John the Baptist a few more times, and he's always saying the same thing. He's always pointing Jesus out to other people. In fact, the final word on John the Baptist in the fourth gospel takes us back to where John has been baptizing in the early days, which is our scripture reading from today. And at this time, Jesus was fleeing from a crowd who was trying to stone him because of the words he'd said about himself, words that they took to be blasphemy. And this is what we read in John chapter 10. Then Jesus went back across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing in the early days. There he stayed, and many people came to him. And the people there said, though John never performed a sign, all that John said about that man, meaning Jesus, was true. And in that place, many believed in Jesus. So John never performed a miracle, never performed a sign, but the people knew that everything he said about Jesus was true. And in that place, they believed in Jesus. And this is in contrast to the angry mob who just chased Jesus out because they didn't believe what Jesus was saying. They thought what Jesus was saying about himself was worthy of death. But John did his job, and he did it well, because in this little out-of-the-way place in Hicksville, where we find John at the opening of the fourth gospel, those people were open and receptive to Jesus, and many in that place believed in him. Because while John was a follower of Jesus, someone who held the light, that's why many people in Bethany beyond the Jordan believed in Jesus, because John held the light for him. He pointed the way to the light in the darkness. And so as much as anything else we do, I wonder if that can be our goal and our purpose in the upcoming year. We know who we're not. Not one of us is the Messiah, so we can stop applying for that job. And we can even feel the freedom that comes from acknowledging that the world doesn't revolve around us. However, we too, like John, can be the ones who hold the light, who point the way toward the light in the darkness of the world. We can hold the light for each other when someone is discouraged or has a setback, an accident, is ill, experiences grief or hardship. We don't have to save each other. We don't have to cure each other, but we can hold the light for each other in the darkness. And we can do that same thing for our families, for our friends. We are not responsible to be the Messiah, but we can hold the light. I came across a particularly beautiful quote this week. It's on the cover art of a Steve Bell album. And I think this might be one of my guiding ideas for the coming year, so I wanted to share it with you. It says this, I have sought how I might make God more loved by other souls, and I have not found any other or more powerful way than kindness. Being kind, which is incidentally one of the fruits of the Spirit that Paul says all Christians should demonstrate, is one way to hold the light in this world of darkness. So I've suggested that we spend a little time this morning lingering with the manger. But, of course, we focused all our attention on someone who is not at the manger scene, but someone who points the way, who holds the light. But he begins the work of Christmas all the same. And to tell the truth, I don't think that John the Baptist minds all that much that he is not honored with a little figurine clustered around the manger, because John's job was never to get fame or recognition for himself, but he used all the fame and recognition that he had to point the way to Jesus. And so as we complete our stay by the side of the manger and drift toward our celebrations for the new year that are nearly upon us, that is perhaps our best challenge today, to be like John the Baptist and to hold the light, to know our place, to know our role, to know who we're not, but to know also who we are. To be the ones pointing to Jesus so that others may believe, to use whatever it is that we have, our jobs or our influence, our friendships, our platform, our hobbies, our gifts, whatever we have, not to bring ourselves glory, but to point the way to Jesus. To follow Jesus and in so doing leading others to come and adore him. To do the work of Christmas by finding the lost, the broken, the hungry, the prisoner. Because it's now, as the angels and stars fade and the shepherds and kings return home, that the work of Christmas really begins, which is the message of the one who deserves recognition in our Christmas scenes but receives none, though by holding the light he points to Jesus all the same, and I think he would be quite happy with that. Would you pray with me as we close this morning? Our glorious God, we acknowledge that we are not the Messiah. We are not responsible for saving this world. That job belongs ever and only to you. But we thank you that you love the world so much that you sent your one and only Son. As we follow Jesus, may we also hold the light. Give us the grace to hold the light so that others may see Jesus. And help us to hear when your chosen voices proclaim the work of your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns in this world and the next. Amen.
This has been the Spiritual School Bus. Thanks for listening. For more Spiritual School Bus, visit www.pastormandy.com. This recording is copyright 2017 by Mandy Hecht and may only be copied or redistributed by express written permission. Thank you and have a blessed week.
As you go this week, may the blessing of the God of eternity, the God who calls time into being and marks its passing, the God who enters human history in Jesus, the God who gives his Spirit to us all, be upon us today, empowering us to live in our time in faithfulness to the gospel, now and always. Amen. Go in peace and Happy New Year.